This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Imam W.D. Muhammad. Thank you. We greet you with the Muslim greetings, the greetings of Islam. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We always thank God. We begin by thanking God for our presence here, for our life, and our presence here on this day. And we trust our Lord, Creator, Allah, in the language of our religion, the Quran, the Arabic language of the Quran. We trust Him to protect us against straying, making mistakes, are coming from our weaknesses. We trust that He will always protect us so we do not stray, do not make errors, to confuse or worse, make worse the life of those who are listening to us. We pray that He protects us so we will always come from our strength and not from our weakness. This is the day we celebrate, July the 4th. I don't know how many Muslims take this day to be our day. In a very special way. But I do. And I do because I was part of a little child, I can recall, before I was 8 years old, sitting in chairs like you were sitting in, listening to the ministry, preach for my father and preach for the Nation of Islam. And I can recall my father also saying that Mr. Farad, that he said was his savior, and my mother said too to us it was her savior, and he said to the Nation of Islam that he, this man, was the savior for the black man, not just Muslims, but for all black people, as he taught. He said that person called Mr. W.D. Farad, W.F. Muhammad, different name, came to America on July 4th, 1930. This is documented, This is in the printed materials, the very special printed materials of the Nation of Islam. He came on July 4th, 1930. I've heard my father speak on that. And what he said, I can give it to you in one sentence. He said he came on there Independence Day, so that we will be one day independent. That's what he taught. And, that's not the topic for today, but it is a big part of what I will be presenting to you today. The topic for today is a healthy patriotism. But this is also Patriotism Day. I don't know how many of you all know what patriotism is, or what a patriot is. Patriotism is from patriot. And patriotism is the support, loyalty, and support, and sacrifices that the patriot makes say subject. Or his fatherland. Note, I didn't say motherland. I said fatherland. Fatherland. Although, he also has a motherland. His motherland is the whole of the people and his land. That's his motherland. But his fatherland has even a deeper meaning. Now, bear patiently with me. I don't like to speak without notes, and I got them right here in my pocket. So let me pull them out. I never like to speak without notes. So I wanted to introduce Independence Day to you and patriotism to you. But I also want to share with you my experience as an observer of myself, my personal experience, as an observer of this day, as Independence Day for the American people, or the people of America. My experience is that this is a fun day. It's a fun day. When I think of this day, I think of families with their people's parents, with their children, going out when the weather is good and drinking lemonade, playing games, just having fun, having a good time. That's what I think of it as. Eating roasted wings and roasted marshmallows and stuff like that, you know. I think some of you are here. Yeah. Good to know you're here. Yeah, my friends, some of my real friends are here. I heard their voices. I heard their chuckles. Yes. So I do think of it as a fun day, and I think most American families and children and parents think of this day as a fun day. Fun day. And I guess when we, I don't know if you do it, but I like to go see the fireworks. I never did like to make the fireworks myself, but I had to go see those who had to fireworks and watch them and watch their fireworks. And I go to the big fireworks, you know. I don't like the little fireworks. I like the big fireworks, where they shoot them up in the air and they burst open and all those beautiful colors just unfold, come out. Once I saw one, the man, Muhammad Siddiqui, showed me, since we've been together for the second day now we've been together, Imam Siddiqui of the Internet in Indiana. He was telling me that once he saw them light up the sky with the American flag, I did too, I saw it once. The American flag came out of the explosion and you saw the American flag up in the sky. Beautiful, beautiful, exciting fireworks. Like the beautiful rainbow, all the beautiful colors that come out of the works, the fireworks. So that's one way of looking at the 4th of July. In that fun picture, you know, having fun, we're having fun, we're having a good time. But we should not forget the real meaning of the 4th of July, and it's very serious. It's very serious. And a true patriot, his patriotism is formed upon that serious meaning, or formed out of the serious meaning of the 4th of July. 4th of July. Now, numbers have meaning, especially in Scripture, in Revelation. I don't mean the book of Revelation. I mean Revelation. Quran, any book that God reveals. Bible, Quran, what God reveals. And that, and those books, numbers have meaning. And it's given to us in the Quran. So we understand that numbers. It's plainly given to us in the Quran. Numbers have meaning. But it says, you know, God gives so much. God created the whole world in 6 years of time, only 6 days. It is written the days, but remember, it says the days, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So the day is not just a one day, 24-hour day. It says he created the world in 6 days. Some they translate 6 periods because they understand that this is not 6 24-hour days, and they don't like to say 6 days because the English reader may think it means 6 days of our day, of our time, of our calculation. So they say 6 periods of time in the translation. Yes. So these numbers have meaning. And God says his charity, his goodness, can be seen in the corn that grows for us in the garden. And the stalk may bear 7 ears of corn, less or more, 7 ears of corn. And on each ear, a 1,000 grains, 1,000 kernels, little kernels of corn. Now, 100 grains. That's okay. It ain't that big a deal. I'm thinking that's what I'm doing right now. I'm taking a lot of seriousness out of these numbers. But in another place, God says, he is the one that gives without counting. Now listen, now pay attention to that. He gives without counting. Although he said a parable of his goodness and charity is the corn that grows. And each ear has so many grains of corn, you know. But he says, and he gives without counting. Now that's the God I worship. That's my God. That's the God I serve. He ain't like some of you stingy people. Got to count everything you give somebody. Got to count it. A real generous person just reaches in his pocket and gives something to put it in your hand. He may not even see what he gave. You might have to tell him what he gave. Yeah, there's some people just that charitable, just that kind and generous. They reach in their pocket and whatever they get their hand on, they give it. And that's it. Muhammad the Prophet, when he was trusted with the wealth of the people, all of his people, his followers. And when they needed something, he didn't even go in the thing and get it himself. He told them, go to the treasure and get what you need. And they would go and get what they need. He didn't know how much they were going to get. So go to the treasure and get what you need. So one fella was walking back from the treasure, and he kept falling. It was so heavy, he kept falling. So the Prophet told him, leave some of that there. Take only what you can carry, it's not how big. I subscribe to the South Town Daily, and I also get the Sunday South Town. And on the front page of Sunday South Town today is the meaning of patriotism. Headline, so right on the front page, big, is the biggest, what you see first is the flag and patriotism. And it gives a definition of patriotism. And on patriotism, it says beyond flag waving, parade. Yeah, I forgot to mention the parade there. 4th of July Day parade too. Fireworks of Independence Day. Our public the spirit is defined by sacrifice, loyalty, service, and kindness. Also, told in the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, was something on this day also. And if we want to understand what this day means, we have to do some research. But most of us are not in touch with the true history and unfolding of the development of our perception or ideas around patriotism, you know? or that support patriotism. Most of us are not in touch with that. We just follow the habits or traditions of our country, our people in our country. So for us, it's just a day to have fireworks, roast greenies and marshmallows, and drink lemonade, sour with the sweet in it, you know. And that's about it for us. Thomas Jefferson is credited and remembered for giving us the language, liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, if Mr. Roth, the teacher of my father who brought the plan for the Nation of Islam, left it with my father, if he said what said he came on this day, July 4th, 1930, I'm sure if he didn't see the people at that time responding to him and being curious to study what he was saying. You know, most people, they hear something and they've just heard it, that's all. They don't give it any thought. That's in the Quran too, that's in our holy book, and in the Bible. There's many clear signs that God gives. They're all around, they're everywhere. So, but most of the people go along heedless. Heedless means they pay no attention to it. Never reach their mind. So I imagine that those who were listening to Mr. W.D. Farah, or Mr. Farah Muhammad, wherever you want to call, were the same. They just heard the words, but didn't give those words any serious attention. I did. From the earliest days of my life, I gave everything, especially that came from my mother and father, to me. Serious attention. Can't recall the times when I didn't give it serious attention. I want to understand it. Little boy, but I want to understand it. Didn't just want to hear it, I want to understand it. And I wanted to understand it because I wanted to make it a part of my life. I want to take it in, as we say. I didn't just want to hear it. I want to take it into myself. I felt everything that they were giving me was needed in my life. So if I'm going to include it or incorporate it in my life, I want to understand it. And I want to feel that I know what I'm putting into my life. Now, ain't but a few souls born like that in the world. Most of us don't care. You know, we're not serious. We're not that serious about life. Yes. I'm sure Mr. Farah was thinking of our being deprived of liberty. When he came, we were discriminated in the South. We were treated like unwanted animal level people. That's how we were treated. I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about 1930. The law wasn't changed until 1960 or after. So we had no liberty guaranteed to us when this was for our sake. So he saw people in a country that claimed to be a country of democracy for all, and freedom and liberty and justice for all. But he saw that there were certain races that had been excluded from that, weren't even recognized as a human being on the level to qualify for that. You say, oh, but that was a thought. I'm not talking about in the time of the 13 colonies. I'm talking about 1930. In the time of the United States, the president was the president of all the states in the South and the North. And he couldn't be president unless he got the votes of the South and the North. But he tolerated the South treating us like we were animal level people and not qualified for the rights of the majority of the citizens of the country. The president tolerated that. And by the way, it was a Republican president. I'm not saying anything to encourage you to vote for President Bush. I want you to know that. It's just a coincidence that President Bush is also a Republican. It was a Republican president, a general, a great soldier, a great person, a great man, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who came out as a soldier to defend our rights to be included as human beings on a level with everybody else. Yes, that's something we forget too. Something we forget. We shouldn't forget those things. And our leaders who know those things should make it a point to keep their constituency aware of these important things. I belong to neither party. I don't belong to the Black People's Jesus Christ party, you call the Democrat. I don't belong to that party, and I don't belong to the Southern party. I'm a free man in this country. And I support what I believe to be deserving of my support. I don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat, a Democrat or Republican. I'm looking for the right person. You think about the party. The symbol of one is a donkey. A dumbass. I'm speaking from the dictionary now. I'm just saying, you know. I don't want to be misunderstood. I want to get the full meaning. I want to be sure you got the full meaning. I can speak your language too. And the other one, symbol, is an elephant. A big, massive creature. Huge, massive creature. Who knows is very unique. Can you find any living creature with a nose like that? He can give himself a shower with his nose. He can eat something as small as a little peanut, pick it up with his nose, put it in his mouth. And he can stick that nose and tighten the muscle up in it, push down the wall of a building like a bulldozer. That nose is something. The only thing that I find that seems to warrant the attention and admiration like that nose is his equilibrium. All that massive weight, he can walk across something no more than 2 inches or an inch wide if he's strong enough to hold it. He can get up on it and walk a little small edge. And not only can he walk it, he'll balance himself on one foot, raise all that huge thousands of pounds of weight, raise it up and stand on one foot. Now I'm telling you, stuff like that makes you forget about Bruce Lee. Just washed out his name completely. And that's a symbol for the Republican Party. Big, massive creature. Now, I can't identify with either one. I don't have enough money to buy an elephant. And I don't want a elephant. Getting back to the 4th of July. 4th of July. Now, you know that? Do you know the Klan? KKK? Some of you remember. Don't think they weren't patriots. They're patriots. White Citizens Council? Patriots. Now these are the enemies of our rights. Right? The enemies of our coming in to our rights as citizens of this country. But they're patriots too. So how your patriotism was formed depends on your perception of the land itself. If you perceive the land as a land that was opened up for whites only, then your patriotism is going to look quite different from Thomas Jefferson and others who perceive this land as a land for all people and wrote this description of the beliefs and principles that they have put in writing, documents to live for as long as we live in this country. Language that was designed to accommodate not only Christians, but other people who will be coming to this land of freedom and opportunity. Wise men with good hearts and foresight, planning this nation, planning the building of this political edifice of government, United States, so that one day it will not be an offense to any good person, any good and well-meaning person, that it will welcome the Buddhist, it will welcome the Muslim, it will welcome the Hindu, it will welcome the Jew, it will welcome the everybody that come with good intentions and well-meaning. And certainly, every nation, every tongue. Nothing in that language to exclude any that should be accepted. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, believe all one, are created equal and are endowed by their Creator, recognizing a Creator over all of us. Therefore, they were religious. They made it clear they believed in God. And they did not take authority that belonged to God. So they say these rights are inseparable from the people. They can't be taken from the people. These rights are inalienable or unalienable. They cannot be taken from the people. The people cannot be alienated from those rights, or taken from those rights, separated from those rights, by government or by any other power, because those rights have been given to them by virtue of their creation, their nature, by their Creator, God. Yeah. So their language didn't exclude anybody. So the idea that the South imposed upon the whole country and made us suffer under it was really unconstitutional from the very beginning. It shouldn't have needed to amend or anything. The amending is done so that history will be continuous and not law. That's the only reason why it was necessary to make amendments. They said it did it to have law. Yes. Well, the Constitution itself is like an organism. You can't take away what's there. You add to it. It grows. Okay, so this is how it is now, and It grew from the beginning, from the idea that was given to us by the founding father. It started growing, and it grows according to our needs and according to what we would submit, allow or not allow. And we look back at it, this part is not acceptable anymore. But you don't cut it off, you just amend it.
More on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Carl R. Wright, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for...